Sara Sri Srimad is given grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivedacharya Stotara Sara Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Gosai Maharaj ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrindi ki Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jai Mitai Gaur Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, entitled Status Quo, Chapter 31, entitled The Movement of the Living Entities, Text Number 2. Kalalam tvai ekaratrena. Kalalam tvai ekaratrena. Pancharatrena budbudam. Pancharatrena budbudam. Dasahena tu karkandu. Dasahena tu karkanduhu.
Dasahena tu karkanduhu.
Peshi andam vatata param.
Peshi andam vatata param.
Kalalam tvai karatrena. Pancharatrena budburam. Dasahena tu karkanduhu. Peshi andam vatata param. Revert to your translation. Kalalam. Mixing of the sperm and ovum. Two. Then. Ekaratrena. On the first night, Pancharatrena, by the fifth night, Budbudam, a bubble, Dasahena, in 10 days, to then, Kakandu, like a plum, Peshi, a lump of flesh, Andam, an egg. Va or tata dense param afterwards. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki. Translation. On the first night the sperm and ovum mix, and on the fifth night the mixture ferments into a bubble. On the tenth night it develops into a form like a plum, and after that it gradually turns into a lump of flesh or an egg, as the case may be. Purport. The body of the soul develops in 4 different ways according to its different sources. One kind of body, that of the trees and plants, sprouts from the earth. The second kind of body grows from perspiration, as with flies, germs and bugs. The third kind of body develops from eggs, and the fourth develops from an embryo. This verse indicates that after emulsification of the ovum and sperm, the body gradually develops either into a lump of flesh or into an egg, as the case may be. In the case of birds, it's developed into an egg, and in the case of animals and human beings, it develops into a lump of flesh. Continue reading third verse, there is no purport. Asena tu sira gavyam bhave angri adi anga vigraha na kalamasti charmani linga chitrodbhavas tribhi. Translation. In the course of a month, a head is formed, and at the end of 2 months, the hand, feet and other limbs take shape. By the end of 3 months, the nails, fingers, toes, body hair, bones and skin appear, as do the organs of generation and other apertures in the body, namely the eyes, nostrils, ears, mouth and anus. Continue to read fourth text as well. Chaturbir dadava sapta panchabi sutrita udbhave sadbir jara yuna vidaha vita kukshav brahmyati dakshine. Translation. Within 4 months from the date of conception, the 7 essential ingredients of the body, namely chyle, blood, flesh, fat, bone, marrow and semen, come into existence. At the end of 5 months, hunger and thirst make themselves felt, and at the end of 6 months, the fetus enclosed by the amnion begins to move on the right side of the abdomen. Purport. When the body of the child is completely formed at the end of 6 months, the child, if he is male, begins to move on the right side, and if female, she tries to move on the left side. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanan Jana Salakya Sakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Visakan Vitam Sya E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Seeking the blessings of all assembled Vaishnavas, I speak some Srimad Bhagavatam for all purification. Recorder remains busy, stuck in the computer. So, this chapter, Bhagavatam, speaks about the pain in the womb, how the living entity undergoes at its birth and what is undergoing. And the main focus of this chapter would be the prayers of the living entity within the womb of a mother. You'll see in from 11th verse onwards, Jantur Vacha, the living entity prays to the Supreme Lord, remembering his 100th birth before coming to this position. And it undergoes severe pain. The situation which he is put into, he is praying pitifully to the Supreme Lord that when I come out, I want to remember. So in Srimad Bhagavatam also we see that Parikshit Maharaj was saved in the womb. when he was attacked by Brahmastra. So that way, you know, his name is Parikshit, because he has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the womb. When he comes out, he is always inquiring, who is that personality? I want to see him again. So in the previous chapter, it discussed about the time factor and how due to adverse fruitive activities, the living entity is dragged to hellish condition. So here, by the supervision of the super soul who is accompanying the living entity every life, he is ordering the material nature to keep a particular body once again. So when right now the living entity which we are discussing at this moment is coming from hell known as Andhatamisha, because he has put into that condition. And this is very fearful when someone is reading Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this section. It creates a fear among the readers. So generally Srimad Bhagavatam does not behooves the reader or the sadhaka to perform devotional service on the basis of fear. This is not our philosophy. So you can approach God in different ways. So one is, you are approaching God on the basis of fear, that most of the religion, comes under this category, that if you don't practice spirituality, or if you don't follow the codes or laws of the scriptures, then you will be punished by the Lord. And this is really fearful, and this makes the person perform his, you know, or spirituality on that basis. Then one may approach the Supreme Lord or the God on the basis of reward, that I need something, I am undergoing some difficulty. Yes, it also addressed in Bhagavad Gita that four kinds of people, one of them is who approach the Supreme Lord on the basis of wealth. They want something in return. Then the third category is someone is approaching the Supreme Lord on the basis of duty, that doesn't matter whether I'm undergoing certain tribulation or joyful, but this is my culture, this is my duty, that I worship Supreme Lord. I go to the temple regularly, I worship. And then the final stage is the topmost, is out of love. So most part of Srimad Bhagavatam discuss about this aspect of dealing of sweet relationship with devotees and the Supreme Lord. But here, this section, gives that fear factor. It is not that bad, because certain fear, it helps us to not in the terms of surrendering to Supreme Lord or going to God, but detach from the material attachment. So that fear will help us to come out of material attachment. You see from the previous chapter, that discussion of fruitive activities, how a person is entangled to material desires and material attachment. So by knowing these details, knowing the destination, at least we get some detachment from the material attachment and material entanglement. Because one has to be very careful in dealing with the material energy. We have this curiosity. Curiosity kills the cat. We heard this. So we want to little bit play around or fiddle around with this material energy and see what happens. So this is very, not a very great advice. We should know how the material energy works, how the energies of the Lord works. So, but one doesn't have to experience that to understand. That's why the scriptures are given, so that By reading it, we'll understand what is the consequences, what is this, how the nature works. Only a fool have to experience to understand how this is bad. So we see, you know, one example is in 11th canto is a description of Markandeya Rishi. He's a great sage. He's a great devotee of the Lord. When the Lord appeared, he asked, "Let me see the illusory potency of yours. I want to see how is it." The Lord said, "No, that is not a good." He advised, "You know, this is not a good way. You know, benediction you are asking." But he said, "No, let me see." Then the Lord showed. So he saw how the destruction happening. Everything is destroying. And you know, it was like a ocean, river, and water is taking over. In that water, he saw a leaf, banyan leaf, and in that leaf, Krishna was there. You know, he was biting his toe. So he saw, you know, this whole creation destruction is going on, and the Lord is floating. You know, so he saw and bewildered, and then you know, he shook up. Then he understood this is how the illusory potency of the Lord is very powerful. So we see that. And also, even in when we have to be careful with the material energy, our mind is also material. So one has to be careful how we deal with the mind. In that, you know, in the section in the 5th canto, in the teachings of Rishabhdev, Parikshit Maharaj is asking question to Sukhdev Goswami that why Rishabhdev is neglecting to use his mystic power, even though he has mystic power. So Rishabhdev is saying that this mind is like a dangerous animal. And imagine you held that animal and he is under your captive. So you are so vigilant to each and every movement of this animal. Because if you are negligent, the animal will not only escape, but it will kill you. So this mind is like that. So we should not put full confidence in our mind, because it's going to cheat at any moment. So trying to play with material energy, the stakes are high. For example, you know, meat eating or you know on a day, the reaction is very high. For example, if a cow eater, he has to take birth, the number of times is equal to the number of hairs in the body of cow. So if a person is eating meat, then he has to take birth so many times. Or if you want to enjoy, or if you want to play around for a few moments or a few seconds, the reaction is so bad that he has to take birth as a worm in the earth, or he has to take birth as, you know, a small living entity and continue there. And then, you know, he has to go through all the species. And when, how does the soul get escaped then? There is no hope for the soul to escape the material atmosphere, material energy. So one has to be very careful in dealing with that. And the Lord is so merciful, as a super soul, he is always accompanying the living entity. He is the overseer, he is the permitter, he is the maintainer, and he is the sanctioner. Right? So he is always as a witness. Whatever, you know, we may think that as no one is watching us or no one is there, but every action is been, you know, it's like he is our 24/7 365 CCTV camera. Imagine, you know, a camera is always watching you. Everyone wants to be good in when the camera comes in, right? Someone wants to take a picture or someone wants to record you. You want to show your good part of you. You want to present nicely. So he is like that. He is always with you anytime, every time. And there was a story that there was a disciples, there was a guru. So he wanted to test the disciples. So he gave them a fruit and he requested them to have this fruit that make sure no one sees it while you are having. So all the disciples went. So then everyone came back after some time. So everyone said, I had in the bush, in the back. No one was there. But then one disciple came with the fruit. So then the guru asked, you didn't find a spot where no one is there? He said that, how is it possible that the Lord is there everywhere? He is there within us as Paramatma. He is always watching. How can I have this fruit without watching? No one is watching. So the guru got impressed. And he showed, this is what I wanted. That the Supreme Lord as a Paramatma is there within us. So that's why when there is a change of different body, he orders the material nature. Okay, this person have done this much of activities and he will get this kind of body suitable for him. Because this is what he wants. He wanted to enjoy in a particular way and our body is not facilitating. Our body is not conducive to enjoy, but is always restriction in nature. We cannot do whatever we want with this body. There is a particular limit. We cannot eat as much as we want like an elephant. We cannot sleep like 6 months like a polar bear. Or we cannot run like a horse. Or we cannot swim like a dolphin. Even though we wanted to do certain activities, after some time it is very restricting in nature. And even if you want to do, there is a particular time scale. After maybe one is from teenage to adult, which is like 10-20% of his life. That is time where senses are very active and we are very energetic. We have all the power, vigor and will, so we can do. But then after some, you cannot even do normal activities. You need support to do normal activities. So our body is not meant to enjoy in a way how the animals are doing. So that way our body is not Satchit Ananda, but Asat, Achit and Nirananda. Our body is temporary, full of miserable, and it's going to perish. And it's in ignorance. So, especially this section, I was thinking that before conception, so we have this before conception and the living entity in the womb and after it comes out. So there's a three stage there. So before conception, so Bhagavatam is giving us how one should not conceive and how one should conceive. So same canto, it gives us two pastime. How one should not conceive gives the pastime of Diti and Kashyapa. Diti approaching Kashyapa in the evening. So there's a chapter there. And how one should conceive is also given by Kardama and Devahuti. So in the pastime of Diti and Kashyapa, if you see, Kashyapa is a normal, he wants to meditate, he was doing yajna as his duty, and he was in the yajna kun and yajna area, where he was performing his normal activities. So Diti, daughter of Daksha, She overwhelmed by this intense lust. Lust is sometimes, you know, all of a sudden it manifests in our heart. The seating place of lust are senses, mind and intelligence. So, which is always with us. So all of a sudden it pops up. And it covers the living entity. There are 3 degrees of covering is there in Bhagavad Gita. So the living entity is covered by, like example given as, smoke covering the fire, or the dust covering the mirror, or the womb, embryo is covered in the womb. So the degree, if you see the smoke covering the fire, you can still see some fire. At least you see the form of the fire, the smoke, which is very less. The second is the dust covering the mirror. You can see the mirror, you can see the dust, but you cannot see the form. You just have to clean it. And the third is, a living entity is covered in the embryo, in the womb. You neither see the womb, I mean the embryo and the covering. So that much thick. So the degree is, so it says the living entity in human and in beast and animals and trees. I mean the lust. So lust covering, you can see the degree of lust. Because in humans, we have this discriminatory power. We have this understanding there is a higher, you know, culture, tradition, way of living, you know. We have certain duties. So in Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna presenting this, that we cannot go on kill this elder people in the family, and dynasty will be spoiled. When the dynasty, I mean elders are killed, and the family dynasty is, you know, ruined, the tradition is ruined, then there is no protection for woman, and then the Varna Shankara will come. So I'm not happy with this. So he's presenting a valid point here. And we know that's why when lust or, you know, manifested, we don't act like an animal. We have a particular religious samskara, which is marriage, vivaha. We do marriage. There is one person, one. So there is a particular rules and regulation for mankind. So we have at least this discrimination. But here, Diti was burning with lust. He was closed in meditation, Kashyapa. So he cannot understand his emotions or feeling because he can't able to see Diti. So much so, Diti started pulling the shirt of Kashyapa. Now I wanted to have union with you. If Kashyapa was a pure devotee, you could have given some advice to Diti. But Kashyapa was not a pure devotee at that time, and he also inclined to have sex with his wife. So this is the difference we can see in scripture, that a yogi or a jnani or a muni, when there is a tempter, they, you know, give in. We see example of Vishwamitra Muni, Menaka, then Saubhari Muni. Just by a small agitation, they want to perform, you know, show their lust. At the same time, we see the example of Haridas Thakur. So Haridas Thakur, at the dead night, you know, when the time of ignorance is peak, and he was approached by a prostitute to have union with him. And because he has a higher taste of relishing the holy name of Krishna, he said, "Let you also sit and wait. Let me finish my rounds. Then I will satisfy your desire." By engaging her in the chanting, or she, because she has her association, she also started to chanting, and then eventually she became a devotee.
Which enchant and be happy.
Okay. So that's why this book is Chant and Be Happy. So, because chanting is the higher happiness. Engaging in sensual activity is a happiness, is like a drop of water in a dry desert. By the time the water going to fall on the ground, it's finished. So it's not everlasting, and it is very more, you know, flickering. Yeah. So we see, because Kashyapa even advises her. See, this is the time Lord Shiva is roaming. He also have a list of living entities which he has to give the body. Not very calibered living spiritual. There he is roaming with his entourage. He is the most compassionate, because he is taking care of, you know, that kind of living entities. Even though he is a Vaishnava, you know, he is number one Vaishnava. So he is roaming. So, but because of the covering of the lust is so high, they want to unite. And she also said, Shiva is my brother-in-law because he has married to my sister. Diti, Aditi, Sati, all are daughters of Daksha. They are all sisters. So he will be merciful to me. But this is your duty. And you have to satisfy me. I am your wife. So this is one example we see. That how one should not conceive a living entity. And then so further in the same canto, we see the example of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Here, even though, you know, Kardama Muni capable of, you know, having an elaborate arrangement, but he was fixed in his austerities and meditation, and Devahuti menially served her husband and got the favor of husband first. And he understood the, you know, how she is serving, and he wanted to reciprocate her, and then he created this, you know, flying mansion. And he also got the benediction because of his severe austerity, that the Supreme Lord appeared to him and he said, I will take birth as your son. So the example is that the quality of an husband, we can, you know, Prabhupada talks about here also, a household brahmacharya. That one is, even though facility is given, but he is meant to control. That is more difficult. The object of sense object and, you know, is that when the senses and sense object come in contact, there is miserable condition. But the sense object is with that person, but still he has to control and maintain brahmacharya within a household life. So that is a higher, you know, task. And when that person do that, then, you know, the family where, you know, is called ashram, where, because one is focused on spirituality. And then by meanly, you know, the quality of a woman, the highest quality is chastity. So by meanly serving the husband and helping him to advance in the spiritual realm, she also shares that benefit. And when that is understood, then there is a process, there is samskara is given. That is how one can unite and bring the living entity into this world. It is a very interesting that the Grahastha ashram is not only supporting all three ashrams, but also it is the resource of all three ashram. Without grihastha ashram, you cannot expect a brahmachari or a sannyasi or a vanaprastha. Because they have a higher responsibility of producing more sannyasis and more brahmacharis in the society. So they are up in the ranks of realm. One may see down upon them, actually it is not that. They are supporting and they are also providing resources. It's a higher, responsibility. So when that is given, then Krishna says, that kind of sex is I am. He's not mentioning about the material sex, but he's saying because it's a higher responsibility and facility is given, one produce that kind of Vaishnava and bringing the living entities into this world, then that form of sex is I am, Krishna is saying. So we see that. Next, in the womb. So when the living entity is in the womb, we see two pastimes. One is Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad Maharaj was a son, is going to be the son of a great demon in the history, Hiranyakashipu. The demigods are in fear of Hiranyakashipu and they are more feared because Prahlad is going to come out. Because they were in fear of this person who is here, we can't tolerate him. What will happen when his energy, his expansion is going to come in the form of his son? What havoc is going to cause? So they want to kill the living entity in the womb. When they approach, then the Narada Muni, he actually stopped and he said, this person is going to be a great devotee. Do not cause any disturbance, any harm. Then he took Kayadu to his ashram and started speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have this great lesson that when a living entity is in the womb, so when we hear to Srimad Bhagavatam, just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, one become a pure devotee. Even there is another pastime also, same Diti. She didn't have much son, but her counterpart Aditi was having sons. So she was in morose and she wanted to unite again with Kashyapa. This time she served Kashyapa nicely and then Kashyapa understood, okay, you are serving nicely. So she asked, okay, ask a benediction. So she asked, I want a son who will kill Indra. So this actually shocked Kashyapa. Again you are doing this. First time we got Hiranyaksha. As a Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Because of, again I gave in to you. So this time Kashyapa said, you need to perform austerity. I will give you devotional service, I will give you devotional principles, you follow it, then only. Because he understood that, taken back. Because you performed all the, service, menial servant, just to get a son to kill Indra. This is your mood, to get a child. So then he gave the devotional principles to Diti and then she followed and then she became a Vaishnava and perfected. But then Indra was careful. He was scared. Because if she is going to follow strictly the devotional principles, then he will be out. So he was closely watching the activities of Diti. And one instant she didn't follow properly. And then he entered the womb and he started killing the living entity in the womb. But the living entity, when he cut that, it became two. Then you cut the two, it becomes four. It becomes, you know, a multiplication. Then he understood this is a divine arrangement. Then they, when they came out, they are the Maruts. They are the 48, 49 varieties of air. They are called Maruts. So we see story of within the womb. Then, if a living entity comes out after birth. So when a living entity comes out, here are two scenarios you can take. That even though, same example you can take of Prahlad Maharaj, he is a son of a demon, he become a great devotee. In another case, son of the Supreme Personality of Godhead become a great demon. In the case of Narakasura, he was born out of Mother Bhumi, who is Varadev. So both are depend. It's not that a person is, you know, born. We see this, that personally my family are, you know, or, you know, any most of the, but not a devotee family. Out and out Vaishnava coming in Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya. Or one, some child may born in devotee's family, may not become a devotee. We see that also. So some may say, what is my previous, where I was in previous life, previous. So if an arrow was shot on you, you don't spend much time where that arrow coming from. You will spend time in taking out of the arrow and curing that. That was is an intelligent person. If a child coming to this world, rather we spending much time in where this child has come from, what was his previous background, what is that, rather we focus on what is will be his destination. That is what intelligently we have to focus on. So in either case, if you see, either a devotee coming out of a demon family or, you know, taking birth from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, becoming a demon, one factor is association. How does the association has changed the path of the child to become a pure devotee or a demon? So in case of Prahlad Maharaj, it was the association of Narada Muni. Or in the case of Narakasura, his association was with Banasura. He was a demon. So by just association, one has become, you know, a demon or a devotee. So his example is like the sand. We see sand. Very insignificant, right? Not much, except the sand, dust of Vrindavan. But this normal sand is there. If the sand comes in contact with the air, that sand will sit on the crown of the king. Even though a queen cannot sit on the crown of the king, but the sand can sit on the crown of the king. The same sand come in contact with the rain, it become muddy and yucky. No one likes it. It's the same sand, but the, what it comes in contact with, it's matter a lot. We might be insignificant. We are insignificant living entity. We are just a part and parcel. We are just a spark. But if we have contact with the association of devotees, then we can raise up to the jewels as a chintamani, as a touchstone, as a desire tree. We pray, right? Every day. Devotees are the desire tree. Because they become a touchstone. If we come in contact with the material energy or a bad association, then we'll have to go to Andhra Tamishra or the hellish planet. or we have to suffer getting a different body, which is entangled or deluded in the ignorance mode. So one is born ignorant. The moment a child comes out, he is not laughing, he is not smiling, is he crying? If it's not crying, the doctors make sure it cries, so they beat. Right? So one is born ignorant, but remaining ignorant, you need to work a lot to remain ignorant, to remain stupid. Because the human form of life is very rare, and it is a way in which you can come out of this cycle. The human form of human form is like the key to come out of the door of this material world. So one time you get the key in the human form. If we don't come out, then we will be there. And in human form, we have got this higher intelligence to understand the scriptures, to understand this law and how the codes work. If we reject, then we are intentionally committing suicide. So suicide means that is one type of suicide, that you are giving your gross body and normal suicide. But this is spiritual suicide, because we come in contact with devotees, we come in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, we come in contact with scriptures and pure devotees. In spite of that, we are neglecting to do devotional service or neglecting to take advantage of the situation. That means we are like a miserly person and committing suicide. So this is more ignorant than out there someone who really ignorant who don't know. We have a greater, higher a responsibility of executing devotional service because we know. So that's why devotees has to be extra careful, because there's offense, right? That committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, or doing sinful activities, or doing considering holy name as a one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as Karma Kanda. And these offenses are given. Why? Because we know and we want to play around. I know this is wrong. I know I have to take shelter of Krishna. But, let me. Our feeling that I missed this enjoyment, I became devotee early. I should have waited for 2-3 years so that I could have enjoyed and then become a devotee. Or otherwise feeling, separation from material energy. I would have, tasted, I would have seen that. Or I would have gone there. I would have heard that. So these are like the seeds. So, Bhurjan Prabhu, I think once he was saying that, If only these are, these are like the seeds of desire we are planting in our heart. Even though we are practicing spirituality, devotional bhakti yoga, but these are like the seeds which preparing for the next life. We want, the philosophy and, these are there, but people mainly attracted to people who is applying this perfect philosophy. So we preach more likely, they get attracted to the process by how our actions are, or how our behavior are, and what we are, you know, telling and what we are doing. So these are like, these are the tests for us. And this is very disheartening for a devotee. But there is hope. So one can get perfection in three ways. One is through, there are, you know, sadhana siddha, by performing sadhana. And some are, you know, nitya siddhas, they are eternal living entities who are associates of the Supreme Lord. And the third is kripa siddha, that is by the mercy. Then by the mercy one get perfection. So what is our hope? That in Kali Yuga it is very difficult. But our hope is the Panchatattva, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. They are so merciful. They are merciful that they can make Jagai Madai into a devotee. This is our hope. When you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get a lot of hope. Because they are came just for this. Their mission statement is, they are so merciful. Paramakaruna, Pagundijana, Nitai Gora Chandra, Savavata, Sara Siromani. Of all incarnation, they are the crushed jewel of incarnation. They have come not with any weapon or any kind of killing the demon and everything. Because we are having demon within us. And they just come to help us. Because they have broken. So Krishna, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, he has given instruction. He has told, okay, surrender to me, then you don't have to fear. So Krishna has come, and he has come with that storehouse of pleasure. But somehow or other, he locked it. Panchatattva are they one who not only broke the storehouse, they themselves, you know, enjoyed, and now they are distributing. Let come and enjoy. Come and taste this bhakti. They are merciful. They give abundantly to anyone. To not only human, to even the animals. The forest of Jarikan, the deers and the tigers are embracing each other and singing Hare Krishna. So we have the hope that by worshipping this Nitai Gaur Chandra, we have some hope that one day we can perfect our life. I'll like to end here and see if any questions or comments, correction. Thank you.
We see the plants and all their living entities, but when we pluck flowers to offer to the Lord, we just will get up.
So that is their offering to Krishna. So we see a beautiful flower. I was discussing the same point 2 days back. When you see a beautiful flower, normal tendency is, I want to enjoy. So when we offer that flower to Krishna, let Krishna enjoy. So this is our original nature, that giving pleasure to Krishna. This is not artificial thing, that we give best thing to God, or, you know, this is natural. But due to material, we covered up. So when we see the flower, instead of Krishna wants to enjoy, we are thinking, I want to enjoy. Right? So that flower looks beautiful, but it, when you offer to Krishna, it looks more beautiful. And by doing that, right, you are creating some sukriti for the tree. because the flower and fruits are the hard end, the end result of a tree, right? What is the best part? The best part is the flower and fruits, right? So that's what Krishna also saying. Offer me a flower, fruit, or water, a leaf. Correct. So you're saying simple. So when you offer it, so that means that tree also get benefited. You may get a higher body in next life, and we also get benefited because we are offering to Krishna, not enjoying for oneself. So you offer flower. Good. So the first thing is, like in Krishna also says, that food which is not offered to me is verily sin. There is no concept of God in there, but at least there is a concept that karma free food. So at least we can start with that. We are not offering because Krishna is hungry. That is not our mood. Right? That is a high standard. Right? In temple worship we do on time because we know this offering has to go. Ladies are there. That is a high standard. Cooking for the pleasure of Krishna is a high standard. Offering with Krishna to Krishna is a high standard. But then you can start this. That's why in Bhagavad Gita it is clearly given, third chapter, yagya, performing sacrifice. In that section you say, food offered not to me, and eating means it's verily sin. So at least we have this concept that if I eat without offering to Krishna, I get full sin. Because why? The foods are cooked in grain. Right? Krishna explains that, right? How the living entity passed from the rain to the earth and then to the grain, and then when a person eats, and then it transferred into semen, and then living entity born. This is a cycle, right? So the living entity, we don't eat an Ekadasi because the Papa Purusha is there, sin is there. So similarly, the grain cooked by outsiders, the grain cooked on flame by non-devotees is as good as we are eating the sin of them. Their consciousness is transferred. We are sharing their karma as good as it. Right? So that's why we avoid and offer to Krishna. So that is a That is the starting. You can let me offer, and then you. And also even if you cook something, then the second stage will come that you like something, I want to offer and I have it, right? I like this, but let me offer because I was told to offer. So even cooking or offering, you can pray to Krishna. Krishna is a person. Krishna is not a, some imaginary, someone is staying up there, Krishna is a person. You can, if you're dealing, say, for a friend, you're dealing with your friend, you genuinely say, this, even though I have to cook, but consciously I didn't make any devotion in this, please forgive me. I'm offering this, but there is no devotion in me, I'm offering. I'm cook this, but I don't have any devotion in cooking. This is my condition. So please accept this. And let me, give some devotion. So next time I will do my best. So this you can offer. Not just, you pray 3 mantras 3 times, and then ting, 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 and then keep it and go. We usually do that, right? Become mechanical. So, right?
When Lord,
Indirectly, yeah, you can say, but Krishna killed Narakasura. Right? Because Krishna appeared, the Supreme Lord come to re-establish dharmic principle. This is one of the mission of the Supreme Personality of God. To establish dharma is a primary thing where in order to eliminate some of the adharmic people he will do in spite of he is a son. Sorry? Sadhana, correct. To protect the devotees, to annihilate the demon and to re-establish dharmic principle. So this is also one of the. And everyone are the children of God. What did Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah? I am the seed-giving father. Everything comes from me. Right? So, then Krishna, same living entity, is also coming from Krishna. But right now they are acting in adharmic way. The demons are acting in a very adharmic way. And to re-establish, he has to punish them. Okay. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhu Premanandi.